This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And holding, delaying some more. That one around in front, pumped out there by Hornquist, taken by Crosby. A shot, score! It's Letang! It's 2-1!
And then Crosby to Letang. Martin Jones not able to move right to left. But what an effort by Letang to find that soft little area and bank it in off the goaltender. Almost.
My intentions are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Got it back to Schultz and a shot went wide. Rebound off the boards. They score! The Penguins have scored. It is Hornquist. A bounce off the boards was shaken in. And Hornquist, who has not played a lot in the game, made the most of the time that time. And it's 1-0.
Kuznetsov scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov in overtime. The march of the Penguins is over. For the first time, Ovechkin prevails over Crosby in the playoffs.
Mike, each of the previous two off seasons, there was been plenty of rumor and speculation suggesting you would be coaching elsewhere. All of that proved to be unfounded. Just in the interest of potentially getting ahead of another round of that this upcoming off season, can you just state what your intentions are with regards to the Pittsburgh Penguins?
My intentions are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Wow, is what I say this morning, Bob Pompiani. I got a call from Limits, I don't know, an hour and a half ago, somewhere around there, and he read me the statement from the Penguins, parting ways mutually, which always goes in quotes, I might add, when you hear about that, or when it's phrased like that, mutually parting ways with Mike Sullivan. That, my friend, is a gigantic story that we begin with today, Bob. I trust you're well. I trust Limits as well. I have a lot to say. I'll say this at the beginning before we get to anything. Before we get to whose call was it really, before we get to potential replacements, before we get to where Mike Sullivan is going, his tenure here, his time here, the man and the coach himself deserve the ultimate praise and respect.
He had
the greatest run of any coach in Penguins history. He's the most accomplished coach in Penguins history. You could make an argument for Badger Bob, which one was, the better coach in the history of this franchise. Badger Bob had to completely change a franchise culture and only had, tragically, the 1 year to do it. You could make that argument. But Sully, either way, you're talking about the most accomplished guy, brought cups back to Pittsburgh, transformed that team when Sidney Crosby may have been at the lowest point of his career. The stars weren't getting it done. It looked like a lost season ahead, and in walked the boss, Sully, and took that team to back-to-back cups. So that's what I begin with today. I think there's a lesson for another team in town here, Bob, but that's where I have to begin as a standalone is the ultimate praise and respect for Sully. It was time to go, past time in my opinion, but he deserves to be remembered forever as a guy who brought Stanley Cups, plural, to this town.
Yeah, not easy to do, especially when he took it over at the time and they were struggling, and then boom, everything changed based on, the situation with how his style complemented what they were trying to do. And hand in hand, when they first started, Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan worked together to accomplish that. And then some things changed along the way with, how the game is played, what you should do, should you adjust to the game, do you have enough players to play the kind of game you want to play? All that comes into conversation. But the number one thing about Mike Sullivan is he's the winningest coach in Penguins history, and he should be remembered as someone who delivered twice and took them, before this last little drought, into some serious playoff, series that could have gone either way. In fact, when Washington won that game, that was the end of it. But that year also, they were in position to make it potentially three in a row had things worked out, but they didn't. So his time here should be remembered in a very, very, very good way.
And then there's the current story. And the only thing I would quibble with what you said is a little drought. It's been a long, long, long drought. They've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. They were eliminated in the first round four straight times before that. That's 7 years in a row of underachievement. Only a coach who wins to the level he did would get that kind of leeway. And the message was lost. It's been lost for a long time. Penguins friendly media told us how crazy it was that Mike Sullivan might want to go to the Rangers, and all the speculation was crazy. And of course he'll be back, and he should be back. And it's been my feeling for a long time, Bob, and I've said it right here, that it's just time to part ways, and it's okay. Mm. It's okay. The Patriots and Bill Belichick parted ways, for God's sakes. And it's a lesson for the other team in town here with Mike Tomlin.
I will say that the Rangers have made this very clear that he was on their list to begin with.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure, that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. When somebody's really interested, they have openings, and there are other openings as well.
Sure, there's
many
openings.
He's one of those guys, which probably put him in a frame of mind of saying, all right, good. I have this interest. I know I'm going to get a job, and he'll probably be the highest paid coach in the history of the game when he gets that job.
Great. He's a great coach,
right.
a good coach right now.
That led to where we are now,
I think. He's not the right coach for here anymore.
No, I think like any coach has been for a long time, and I would include Mike Tomlin in that. After a while, it just gets to the point where a change could be necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
But in this case, whether it was Mike Sullivan forcing this issue or the Penguins, I'm not sure how that works. I heard Doran and Adam talk about it, that he had a list of demands.
Non-negotiables.
I want to hear what that demands were.
Oh, I would imagine, if I had to guess, Bob, the very first item on that list was, if that Carlson guy is still here next year, I'm not. That's just a guess.
But didn't you get the feeling that Mike Sullivan wanted him? I mean, I remember talking to him when that trade happened.
Oh, yeah, everybody wants him in August. The problem is in December, January, and February.
I understand that.
When he's creating chances.
Coming here knowing what kind of player he was.
Sure.
So he's complicit in that as well.
But then he had to live with him. Oh, I don't know. Right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about who might replace Mike Sullivan.
There's an interesting list out there.
For a moment here, though, Bob, let's go to the phone lines, because somebody who's been on this story from the beginning, and you mentioned in New York Sullivan's name's come up a lot, is my old friend Arthur Staple from The Athletic, hockey columnist, covers the Rangers and the Islanders. Arthur, how is this news landing in New York? Is this practically a foregone conclusion in your mind and others around there that Sully is Rangers bound, or are there other good options like his hometown of Boston where he coached before?
I think there's lots of good options, Joe. It's if the Rangers were maybe in a different situation coming off a different kind of season, then you'd say sure. And I still think it's the if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd probably put that one as the highest, maybe a little over 50%. But I think that's based entirely on how badly Chris Drury has wanted Mike Sullivan to come coach this team since he took over 4 years ago. Obviously, when he hired Peter Laviolette 2 summers ago, Sully wasn't available. 4 years ago, I think maybe, just taking the job, he thought there was a chance to back channel a little bit, and Sully ended up signing a pretty long extension soon after that. So it's just always been someone that Drury feels like could coach this team, could do a good job coaching this team. He's been here before as an assistant to John Tortorella when Chris Drury was the captain. I think a lot of people who played on those Torts teams didn't love Torts, but they did like Mike Sullivan. And, his success soon after that wasn't necessarily easy to predict, but not that far off from what a lot of players who played for him when he was an assistant thought of him. So, yeah, it's a great desire of the Rangers to get him. There's probably a great desire of a lot of the other teams, Bruins, the Flyers, maybe even the Canucks if they move on from Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
And then you see maybe a few days from now when the first round ends, you can see, to me there's three teams. There's Vegas, there's Dallas, and there's Edmonton, three good teams that like to compete every year that probably would be very willing to throw their own coaches overboard to get Mike Sullivan. So it's a good time to be Mike Sullivan. I don't know how confident I feel in the Rangers, but it's definitely a good time for him.
Do him and Drury have a relationship going back?
You know, I think so. They're obviously both Boston University products. You know, that New England mafia that we got going around here. Even Peter Laviolette was a little bit a part of it, not the BU part, but you know, I think those connections that go way back. Like I said, you know, I don't know that there's lots of good feelings about Torts from his time here, especially from some of the veterans. But I think Sully, you know, kind of did that good cop to Torts' bad cop for a long time with the Rangers. And I think, you know, his ability to kind of run be the inside guy running the teams alongside Torts really resonated, I think, with that group. And they certainly overachieved a lot. There wasn't a lot of talent on those teams. It was a lot of Henrik Lundqvist and try to scratch out a goal or two, but they did get to a conference final. They did kind of pull themselves out of a rut that they'd been in for a long time under those two guys. So, you know, I think that's what stayed with Drury, and certainly the success that he's had since then has stayed with him and made him the top candidate, I guess, and now certainly the top candidate now that he's available.
Arthur, the overriding thing that I kind of take from this is that Mike Sullivan doesn't want to be part of a rebuild, and that's exactly what's going on, even though he has some high-end talent on his team and some big contracts. What is the exact state of the Rangers? Because I thought they took a major step backwards as this season went on. I remember their opening night here at 6-0. They came in and blitzed the Penguins, and people thought this was going to team that you know, would make a Stanley Cup push. Where are they in terms of what they are? Are they a team in somewhat of a rebuild?
Well, that opening night this season feels like it was about 100 years ago, because so much has happened with this Rangers team since then. You know, they traded their captain, Jacob Trouba, in December. They traded a couple of their good young guys in Kaapo Kakko and Filippito. They got JT Miller. They had one of the worst months in December that they've had at any recent decade I can think of the Rangers, and there have been some bad years in there the last 30 years or so. It's been a wild ride, and, you know, I think it's not quite finished yet. So I think that's the part that, whether it's Chris Drury or James Dolan, the owner, they're going to have to sell Mike Sullivan on a vision that's not really complete right now. It's certainly crazy to think a team that was two wins from the finals less than a year ago, now being in the situation of, are they even going to be good enough? Where, you know, obviously the Penguins are keenly interested whether they're going to get the Rangers' first round pick this year or an unprotected one next year. So the Rangers have a lot of decisions to make too about where they're going to go from here, how quickly they're going to try to turn this thing around. It's a fascinating situation to see how far they've fallen, how they're going to try to pick themselves back up. And I think from a stability standpoint, to get someone like Sully in here would be huge, and kind of send the message to the room that, okay, we've got a coach in here who knows what he's doing, who's dealt with a lot of different situations. We're not going with a first-time coach or, you know, a guy who's been an assistant for a long time, a guy who's maybe more of a retread style person. You know, I think the message it would send would be pretty strong to the room and pretty strong to the fan base that they're in this to turn it around quickly. Like you said, I don't think Sully wants part of a rebuild, and I don't know the Rangers want to be part of a rebuild either right now.
Well, one thing he'd have that he didn't have for several years running here, Arthur, is a goaltender, and that's a good place to start. But what I want to ask you before we let you go is the pool of candidates, because now the Penguins and Rangers might be competing for certain guys if Sully doesn't go to New York. I know Rick Tocchet and David Quinn have been mentioned as possible successors already to Mike Sullivan, but who are people talking about in New York other than Sully as a possible new coach?
You know, I think Tocchet would probably be on the list. He did interview 4 years ago when they hired Gerard Gallant. I don't think David Quinn is going to get another crack at it,
having been
dismissed by Drury, I think, as his first move as GM. So I think then you're looking at someone a little bit newer. You know, you could maybe look at Mitch Love, who's one of the Caps' assistants, who's gotten some interviews before and is going to get a lot of interviews, I think, in this coaching cycle. You know, maybe you're looking at a guy like Todd Nelson, who's had a lot of success at the AHL level. Do they dip into the college ranks? You know, Denver University's David Carl seems to be the hot candidate. Jay Pandolfo, who coaches BU and was a teammate of Drury's a long time ago there. So I think there's not a lot of obvious candidates. You know, I think the last time around for the Rangers, Peter Laviolette was the obvious candidate because the Rangers do like guys with experience, especially a Stanley Cup winner and a guy who, you know, knows what it takes to be around here in this market. So I think when you get beyond Sullivan, get beyond Tocchet, it's an interesting mix. And so I think that puts even more urgency on the Rangers trying to get Mike Sullivan here.
Arthur, appreciate you taking time at the last minute here. It's always fun to do a coaching search. Enjoy yourself.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, see you, Arthur. Man.
Very well said. You can tell he's very, very well connected with all these names and people that he's seen over the years in New York. And I just don't – I look at the Ranger roster just now, and I'm thinking to myself, they're old, and they got a lot of issues that they need to solve too. So
they do.
So they're not exactly a Stanley Cup team waiting. They have some
but
players.
But a good place to start is with their goalie.
I understand that, but other teams have good goalies too. And he mentioned, which I was thinking about the other day, if one of these teams in the NHL playoffs currently gets dismissed, and that could happen too, because in the NHL territory, they don't hesitate. If they want to coach, they'll abandon whoever's behind the bench, regardless how much time's left. Edmonton's a prime example of that. Edmonton has been an underachieving team for a long time. Although I got to give them credit last night, they came back in overtime and won a game. I didn't think they would win. But if they end up losing in the first round, there could very well be an opening there with a high-end team.
Right. There's still some high-end talent there, though, Bob. You start on defense with Adam Fox. You have Panarin. You have Trocheck. You have Lafreniere.
But they've been a lot of these guys have been around for a while. And I watched them play at the end of the year, and they were completely out of whack.
They were
not playing good hockey.
I mean, Drury's
all done
a terrible job there, and people were outraged in New York when he just got extended. But, man, to start out with that goalie and some of the high-end talent. But there's problems. You're right. There's problems everywhere. That's why teams would want a new coach. Plus, I think Arthur, and you may have said it too, there's teams that would do a Craig Counsell situation here with David Ross, like the Cubs did.
No question.
Where you may have a guy, and because Sully's available, say, forget it. But you have the Bruins, where he started, where he's from. You have the Blackhawks, where he was a consultant when they won a cup before he came to the Penguins organization. You have the Flyers, if he wanted to go after the Penguins a little bit. You have the Ducks, you have the Kraken. And you have the Rangers now.
How about the Canucks? Did you mention Canucks?
Vancouver?
Just because they're in a kind of an impasse, it looks like, with Rick Tocchet.
That doesn't seem like a good situation, but yeah.
But I'm only saying to you that Rutherford hired Sullivan.
Yeah.
So he's over there now, and he said he's going to make Rick Tocchet one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid guys. Well, his level of success is not anywhere close to Mike Sullivan's level of success. And I like Rick Tocchet a lot.
Rick Tocchet has had almost no success as far as playoff
runs
go.
The one year, last year, they had a big amount of points, and they were a very good team. And then this year, they had all that stuff internally with JT Miller and Pettersson, and it became out of control. But my point is, they have a relationship there.
Yeah.
And that's a team that still has some
high-end. Is it a good relationship?
Well, I don't know that. That's the thing. They have a relationship. That's why I didn't say good, because as they left, I wasn't sure how it ended.
I just accidentally FaceTimed Arthur Staple. He must be wondering what I'm doing. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Let's talk about how we got here and what happened before we move on to anything else. So, I mean, it's kind of obvious at this point that even if you have a good coach, maybe a great coach, when it's time to part ways, and it's past time here. 7 years with nothing. That's a long time in professional sports. Sullivan bought that time by winning a couple cups. His teams no longer did what he preached. He wanted smart puck management. They were the worst puck managing team you've ever seen. He preached team defense. They were one of the three worst defensive teams in the NHL and have been a horrible defensive team for the most part for multiple years in a row. He wanted them to be, quote, hard to play against. They're easy to play against. They don't protect Sid. They don't protect their goalie. They don't protect the front of the net. They don't attack the other goalie, and they don't attack other stars. They're team polite. As I've said many times, Bob, if the Lady Bing were a team trophy, the Penguins would be a dynasty at the moment. So, none of the people really covering the Penguins saw this, but to me, it was past time, and he needed to be gone. He needed to be gone. Now, you said that Crowley and Dorn went on the air today, and they did, with a report that Mike Sullivan went to the Penguins with a list of non-negotiables. So where do you stand on what I just said about how it was obviously time, and B, about this reported list of non-negotiables that Sully took to the Penguins?
It might have been his time to make a play. And if he had non-negotiables, he knew that they wouldn't meet him. sometimes you go into these things knowing in advance, if you're him, that I am going to force my way out of here. And the way I do it is come up with a list of incredible things that they'll never agree to. And then it's viewed as a mutual departure, which this has been viewed. It could very well. He was the guy who drove this. He was the guy who went in there thinking, I need to figure out a way out of this because I do have a signed contract. And if they're not willing to do anything. But, you know, you're right about your assessment of the Penguins. For everything he preached, and he was getting mad at the end of the year talking about the, you know, defensive accountability, how to make, and they didn't do it largely with the guys that he relied on to play. And if, and that's a tough situation if you're Mike Sullivan. You know, Letang and Carlson are two biggest violators of that, and yet they're on the ice more than anyone else. So if you're a coach with high-end talent, they're not doing what you want them to do. What do you do? Do you sit them? Well, if you sit them, then you're hurting your own cause. So it's a tough situation, but you're right. They did not play anywhere near the kind of hockey that he was demanding of them.
For several years now.
Right. But also, I would have to say this, that I don't think he adjusted to what the league was doing as well. Whereas when he first came in, the league he did something that forced the league to adjust to him.
Yes.
Which was play fast-paced hockey, which win your puck battles in the corner, keep the puck in the offensive zone, that kind of stuff. And they were good at it. They were better than anyone.
Right.
Kessel was brought in, accelerated that program. But then as time went on, things started to change. There was more of a physical presence that we saw on very, I don't know how many teams, but many teams. And the Penguins couldn't answer that. And they weren't, it seemed like, not willing to answer that. Instead of double down on what they thought they were good at, but they weren't good at it anymore, which was playing that high-end kind of hockey back and forth. They did not have an answer when teams decided to, you know, forecheck them in their own zone and they couldn't get out and they throw the puck around. So,
speed was no longer an advantage, and I agree with
you. No, it was a
you.
Big advantage back then. It was the advantage.
It was
had.
The advantage, and he was stubborn. Sully was very stubborn in the kind of
I think
player.
The Reeves acquisition was the biggest. If there was something that, you know, broke up that relationship or started to crack it between Rutherford and Sullivan, it may have been Reeves. Because Sullivan didn't play him hardly at all. And Rutherford made a big statement there by getting him because he was tired of watching his players get, you know, hit over the head, hit in the face, whatever they were getting in there, and these are the star players we're talking about. So,
and nothing has changed there, and you could listen to Jay Caulfield, Bob Airey, over recent years just shredding guys in that locker room for not protecting Sid at the top of the list. It was a very interesting way that the Penguins worded this. And again, I'm sure you'll get accounts out there that say, oh, it was a mutual parting. Just like last year, you got accounts when people like Frank Saravalli were reporting that Dubas and Sully were having a little friction here. Oh, there's no friction there. Sully and Dubas get along fine. Everything's great in Penguins country because it always is, according to some people. Clearly, there was a disconnect because guess what? Now Sullivan is gone. So I'm going to go with some of the out-of-town people here, like Arthur Staple. Oh, Arthur Staple's crazy. Sullivan's staying here. The Rangers can wish all they want. Well, now Sullivan's gone. So very rarely in sports do a coach and a GM and an owner walk into a room together and say, you know what, guys? I think it's time to go. Hey, we were thinking the same thing. It's a mutual parting. It doesn't work that way. So the way that Kyle Dubas and the Penguins phrased this is that they made the decision. And the key here, after their understandable and worthy praise of Sullivan, is at the end. They talk about his love and loyalty for the organization. Here's the key statement from Dubas and the Penguins. Quote, this was not a decision that was taken lightly, but as we continue to navigate the Penguins through this transitional period, we felt it was the best course forward for all involved. We doesn't include Sullivan anymore. The two we's there, Bob, is Kyle Dubas and the Penguins wanting to make it clear to everybody that this was their call. Even if it may have been Sullivan going in there and saying, I'm out if you don't do this, they want to make it clear that it was their call. And it's never a mutual parting.
If you're looking at how things were phrased, then you have to look at Mike Sullivan's last time speaking publicly here when he was asked specifically about his intentions, because it comes up every year. He said, my intentions are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Are to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
So, neither him or Dubas said yes to that idea.
Right. But my point was, he phrased it in a way that made you think he's not interested in leaving.
Oh, see, I had the opposite.
No, the actual words.
The words after that, but when he was asked point blank, you coming back, my intention is a very interesting way to phrase it.
Well, but I'm saying that gives him an escape route, too.
Sure.
That's what happened here. That's why he phrased it the way he phrased it. My intention. So my intentions also include a list of non-negotiables, and if they're not met, he didn't complete that part of the sentence. But if that was true, and I don't know if it is or isn't, I trust those guys in the morning. They had that.
So do I.
So if that is part of this, then he knew that he was planning on some sort of exit strategy, and the intention is to stay here, but there's more to come. And the more to come was, I want this, 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 and if they're not going to meet it. So everyone's trying to cover their own butts here in this mutual parting. But
right.
They both had intentions, and the intentions were to separate.
Do you think the Penguins' intention was to separate before Sully walked into that room with that list?
I think they, too, were looking for an exit strategy. And when that became apparent, that if there was a list involved, then that's their way out. So maybe it was just two trains coming head-to-head, and something had to give, and they both agreed that this would be the right way to do it. But both probably had intentions of moving on.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you think that?
Well, Sully surely did if he walked in. This was Sully testing his power, which is enormous. You don't normally have a coach in place and hire a GM, right? It usually works the other way around, right. So it was always, that was always in the back of my mind. Telephone, Bob. That was always in the back of my mind from the start of Kyle Dubas's tenure. But I believe that if Sullivan wanted to come back or wanted to come back under, you know, hey, you tell me what to do type thing, that the Penguins would have had him back. But maybe you're right. Maybe secretly they were looking for an exit strategy. When he walked in, that was it. But yeah, Sullivan left the door open, and so did Kyle Dubas. Did he not, Limits, when he was asked, hey, point blank, is Mike Sullivan going to be your coach next year?
He did. The door was wide open.
Yeah, Mike's under. I haven't had any postseason meetings yet with Sully.
Goodbye. He didn't say yes, did he? I don't care what he said after that.
Well, intentions and that comment make you think that both had different agendas.
Yeah.
That they were trying to figure out ways to amicably come up with a conclusion that let them both go in different directions.
Okay. The bottom line is that they did. And to me, and please weigh in here at 412 telephone, Bob.
You know, please, it's a big story when people are calling all the time.
Right. Is that Sully?
No,
get him on the
Sully.
Air if
no,
it is.
It's not Sully.
412-928-9370. Here's the bigger story, the larger theme here. And Arthur Staple hit on it. We just had him on from The Athletic. It's a great time to be Mike Sullivan. Man, it is. And I'm happy for Mike Sullivan. And I'm thankful for what Mike Sullivan did here. And it's okay to part ways. It's a great time to be Mike Sullivan. Go out and coach somebody else, a team that's not at a dead end like this one at the moment, and make a ton of money. Go do it. And the Penguins will continue with what they're doing, which hopefully is a rebuild, hopefully a quick one. It reminds me, and it evokes the Chicago Bears calling up Art Rooney II. Bob, maybe you're right. Maybe the Penguins and Sully were desperately looking for an out. The Chicago Bears provided the Steelers with one. Hello, Art. We want to trade for Mike Tomlin. And instead of even entertaining that, instead of even asking the Bears what they would give up for Tomlin, Art apparently treated them like a telemarketer and hung up. That was their out. And again, it's okay. Everybody lives probably happily ever after. Bill Belichick looks happy to me in North Carolina, you know?
A lot of reasons for that, I suppose.
Mike McCarthy went on to win 12 games, 3 straight years in Dallas. Some murky waters now. Pete Carroll looks happy to me. Everybody moves on. Scotty Bowman moved on, right? Him and the Buffalo Sabres at one point came to a mutual agreement, and he went on to great success. The greatest NHL coach of all time. Also moved on from Montreal, didn't he, and came to Pittsburgh. Bill Belichick, maybe the greatest NFL coach of all time. It happens. and everybody should live happily ever after, but the Steelers just can't bring themselves to do anything to move on from Mike Tomlin, and they had their out. And Bob, that's the story to me here, is comparing these two organizations, one of which, not by design, sunk to the bottom of the league where you need to be, at least for a year or two, and moved on from its coach, however it happened. The other one is stuck in this perpetual high-end mediocrity nightmare with Mike Tomlin. They can't, neither side can bring themselves to say, there might be something better out there for both of us. You were awesome here. You won a Super Bowl here. You went to two Super Bowls. My God, it's been almost a decade since you've been competitive in a playoff game. Can we just move on for both of our sakes, or are we going to stay together for the kids? You know?
Well, let's look at the comparisons there. Also, both have years left on their contract. So that did not stop the Penguins from making a move, despite the fact that this contract had years left. So if Mike Sullivan wanted to stay and he was intent on staying, I don't know that this would have happened. You know, if he really wanted to stay here, would the Penguins have gone through this? I think they, like I said, it just seems to me like they were both looking for exit plans, and it mutually happened at the same time. But if Mike Sullivan truly wanted to stay, do you think they would have just come right out and said, we're firing him?
If he wanted to stay, I don't. I think they would have kept him.
Right.
But in the end, Bob, I think you're right about this, that if both sides had an inkling, this presented the opportunity. Sullivan actually presented the opportunity by saying, here's my list of non-negotiables. Okay, we can't meet that. And again, the real point is, it's a chance to live happily ever after. You had one of the longest tenures I ever remember for an NHL coach.
It's way above the average, for sure.
It's okay. Scotty,
and he earned it when you win two championships in back-to-back seasons.
Scotty Bowman moved on from multiple organizations. Bill Belichick. It happens.
Andy Reid.
Jimmy Johnson. It's okay. But it doesn't seem to be for the Steelers. Art seems to be afraid of what happened from like 1930 to 1972. We can't go back to that. And good for the Penguins, I say, and good for Mike Sullivan. Both.
Now, yeah, good for both. That's the way it's going to end, and we'll see what they do. Now the next stage is what happens here. And we can talk a lot about Mike Sullivan, where they go, where he goes. But what about here? Who are the people who may be considered? Because I'm sure.
Let's talk about that.
There was Sheldon Keefe, remember him? And I think Dubas really liked him. He ends up going to New Jersey where he took a job. There are other people in his past that he will definitely look forward to meeting with. But there are also some big names out there. And who is interested in the rebuild?
Let's talk about it. That's a great way to turn right now. But we also want your thoughts on this whole thing. 412-928-9370. And how it relates to the other team in town. The Steelers. One of the other two. But specifically the Steelers. And how many times have we talked about the similarities with these two coaches, starting with the fact that they're both named Mike? They arrive, they have immediate and historic success. Immediate. And then it starts to go south a little bit. And then it stays that way. And then it stays that way. And then it stays that way for years and years and years until it's obvious. Can we just stop for everybody's sake? The Penguins did. The Steelers haven't. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And our six pack brought to you by Bet365. Yes, if it were the Bears, I would have been happy for Mike Tomlin. It's a happy parting. Mike, go out and live your life. You've done so much here. But there's other horizons. Go have a franchise quarterback in Caleb Williams. Go to a team in a city that wants you right now, that would love you right now. Please. I mean, it would be. I would have wished him well, as I do Sully. And I would have said he's probably going to succeed there. But it seems to be stale and done here.